you very much, man. God bless you. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. While you're finding your place, I've been asked to announce that our pastor emeritus, Dr. Gene Lashley, this was yesterday, and then for the next two Saturdays, August the 10th and 17th, he's been discussing on the radio the history of this church. So what I'm going to do, Brent, if you don't mind, I'm going to give this to you. And at the end of the service, if you'll just post this out on the bulletin board, it's got the times and the radio stations that he'll be on. That's this Saturday and the following Saturday, the 10th and 17th. That'll be on the bulletin board so you can see the times and what radio station that is. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm going to preach on verses 1 through 15, but I'm going to begin reading in verse number 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. The Bible says, this is Paul speaking, "And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me, and he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities, in persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." If you're marking your Bible, I want you to mark the three words in verse number 10. It's the three words, "for Christ's sake." For Christ's sake. Let's pray together and we'll share this thought with you. Father, we love you. Thank you for this day. Would you speak to our hearts? Thank you for the power of the Word of God. And I pray that you help us to be faithful to you, faithful to your word. Give us wisdom and knowledge. I stand in need of you today. And I pray that as I stand, that my heart is clean. Forgive me for anything that hinders you. Remove it and get it out of my life. Help me to be a clean vessel for the Holy Spirit of God to flow through. Speak to us, I pray. Draw us close to you. Save the lost, challenge and comfort the saved. In Jesus' name, amen. In this book of 2 Corinthians, in context, when you study it, Paul's ministry is under attack. Paul is being personally criticized at this moment, and he is vindicating himself and his apostleship. In this process of him being under attack, when we come to chapter 12, we see that Paul is forced to speak about himself in order to combat the personal attack being made on him. Now, in the midst of his speaking, he makes a statement that I want to draw our attention to in this service, and that statement is, "for Christ's sake." Now, that phrase simply means in the place of Christ. It means regarding Christ, or on part of Christ, or on behalf of Christ, or instead of Christ. In this passage, I see three things Paul did for Christ's sake. And it's interesting that as we see these three things that he did, that he gave his life to do, it's important that you keep in mind when he did these things. He's doing these things while he's under attack. He's doing these things while his life is not a bed of roses. He's doing these things while his life is under fire. And you know, we've been reminded even this week about how people come under fire and under attack all the time. I don't know, but maybe you've come into this service and today that you feel like your life is under attack. Maybe your life is under fire or under a fiery trial or whatever the case may be. What I want to do in this service is I want to give you three things that the Apostle Paul did when he was under attack, when he was going through a fiery trial, when his life was being bombarded and criticized. Three things he did for Christ's sake. Every now and then, friends, all of us come under attack, and we need to keep these things in mind. And let me say to you this morning that if you don't need this now, you will. Just hang on a while. If God gives you life and gives you breath, you will. By the way, even if your life's not under attack, these are still three pretty good things to do, okay? After all, when you think about what Christ did for my sake, then anything I can do for his sake, my answer should already be yes. He's been good to me, friends. If you'll be honest with yourself, you'd have to admit that the Lord Jesus Christ has been good to you too. He has died for our sins. He was buried and rose again for our justification. God has been great to us. The Lord Jesus Christ became my sin. And in this text, we see some things that now we can do for Him. Has He done a lot of things for you, friends? Has He been good to you? Then here's some things here that we can do for Him. Now, we ought to be sitting up and saying, I'll tell you one thing, whatever it is, my answer is yes. Because He's been too good to me. Number one, the first thing that we see the Apostle Paul did for Christ's sake, while he was under attack, number one, we see that he sacrificed his pride. Look at verse number 5. The Bible says, of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And then he says in verse 7, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Notice the Apostle Paul said, of myself I will not glory. You know what that word glory means? It means boast. It means vaunt self. It means to joy in self or rejoice in yourself. Paul said this, for Christ's sake, during this time when I'm under attack, during this time when I'm being unfairly criticized, during this time when pride tries to well up, he said, of myself I will not glory. He's saying, of myself I will not boast. Of myself I will not vaunt. Of myself I will not rejoice. Of myself I will not have joy. In the summer of 1986, there were two ships that collided in the Black Sea off the coast of Russia. Hundreds of passengers in that crash died as they were hurled into the icy waters below. But you know, news of the disaster was further darkened when an investigation revealed the cause of the accident. It wasn't a technology problem like radar malfunction or even, it wasn't even thick fog that day, but the cause was human stubbornness. Each captain of each vessel was aware of the other ship's presence nearby, and both could have steered clear, but according to news reports, neither captain wanted to give way to the other. And each was too proud to yield first. And by the time they came to their senses, it was too late. And listen, it took innocent lives and threw them into the icy waters that day. You know what happens around the world today? I'm talking about those in marriages. I'm talking about children, even in churches today. Let me tell you what causes problems. Pride. Pride. You know what causes marriage problems a lot of times? Somebody says, well, it's money. That's the number one cause of divorce. I'll have to agree with that. Well, it's immorality. I'll have to agree with that if that's the case. But in reality, you know what causes a lot of marriage problems? Pride. I will not yield. I will not give in. I will not apologize. I will not. And don't be surprised if you take your children down with you. You say, Jody, what are you preaching on? I'm preaching that in the midst of trials and tribulations, in the midst when this dear man of God was being unfairly criticized, in the midst where he was going through a fiery trial, he was being under attack, he said, here's the first thing I do for Christ's sake. I will not glory in myself. I will sacrifice my pride. Too many people live their life just like these two ships. They're too stubborn to give way. By the way, if some man or some lady is too big to say I'm sorry, they don't understand the Spirit of Christ. There have been times in my own life where I had to plead the forgiveness of my own children. Daddy sinned. Will you forgive me? Daddy shouldn't have lost his temper there. Will you forgive me? See, if you're too proud. By the way, there's been too many times where I've been too proud to do that, you see. If you're sitting here today and say, I don't struggle with pride, you're just proving me wrong by that statement, aren't you? Everybody struggles with pride. Everybody struggles with what they want. Psalm 138, verse 6, though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. But the proud he knoweth afar off. You know what that means? That means that he is high, but he gets close to the lowly. And he is high, but if you're proud, he wants to stay away from you. I'm going to tell you one thing. I want God close to me. I don't want him knowing me afar off. Let me tell you how you get it. Get humble before him. Humble before him. Proverbs 16 and 17. Here's what the word of God says. These six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to him. That word abomination, if you will, it means it makes him sick to his stomach. Excuse me, I'm not trying to be crude, but he wants to regurgitate. He wants to throw it up. He can't stand it. These six things, yea, seven are an abomination. Mr. Keith Kaiser, boy, I miss him. This pastor that we were just with, he knew him, and I didn't realize he knew him, or if I did, I'd forgotten. He started talking about him a little bit, and it just brought back memories. I miss that dear man of God. I miss him. He taught us in Bible college. I'm crying up here just thinking about him. Glory. He taught us in Bible college. He said, any time that you see a list given in the Bible, always pay attention to what's mentioned first and what's mentioned last. Because nothing's by coincidence in the Word of God. And right here, the Bible says there are six things God hates, and the first one he mentions is a proud look. A proud look. He cannot stand pride. Proverbs 16, 18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 29, 23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. See, the first thing we all need to do, even if we're under attack or not under attack, both of us can learn here. Hey, we need, for Christ's sake, to sacrifice our pride. We need to be humble before God. Are you humbly obeying what God wants, or are you proudly going off in your own direction? You know, the ultimate example of this is the Lord Jesus himself. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, here's what it says, talking about the Lord Jesus, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You know what the cross was in Christ's life? Him humbling himself. The Bible says he humbled himself to become obedient to the death of the cross. You know what that means? The reason we have a Savior today and we go to heaven today is because the Savior humbled himself. And if Christ humbled himself, how much more should his creatures humble themselves? That's number one. Number two, in the midst of fire, in the midst of being attacked, in the midst of criticism, he said, for Christ's sake, I will sacrifice my pride. But number two, he said, for Christ's sake, I will seek God's power. We see this in verse 7 all the way down through verse number 10. Notice verse number 9, he said, well, let's just read this. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he, God, said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Notice this, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to sitting down and speaking to Paul. Looking forward to seeing him. By the way, a lot of people think that his infirmity was eyesight. But the Word of God does not tell us specifically. I'm glad for that. Because now we can apply this thorn to any thorn in our lives. You see how God works? And he said this. He said, once God said, my grace is sufficient for thee, he said, I will most gladly, therefore, take joy, if you will, in my infirmities. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. You know what that word rest means? It means to tent upon. It means to abide. It carries the idea, if you've ever gone camping and you put your tent at that spot, Paul's saying, because his grace is sufficient for me during this thorn that's hurting me, he said, I will gladly respond to this in joy, that the power of Christ will put its tent over me. Now I want to give you a list of things that he sought God's power in. First of all, under this, he sought God's power in thorns. That's verses 7 through 9. You know what that word buffet means, where it says the messenger of Satan to buffet me? That thorn in his side, whatever it was, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. That word buffet is in the present tense active voice. That means there was never a time that it wasn't hurting him. He was constantly in pain. It was constantly present tense, active voice. That means it's present and it's active at that moment. It's present and it's active at that moment. It's present and it's active. He did not get relief from it. The bottom line is Paul was constantly stuck with a painful thorn, whatever it was. And the Bible says that he begged God. He begged God. Question, you think Paul could get a prayer answered? I think so. He begged God. He said, I besought the Lord thrice. He's saying, I beg God three times. Please take it out. And the answer came, my grace is sufficient. That word sufficient means enough. When Paul heard this, he said, okay, I will now stop seeking relief. And I will now begin to seek the power of Christ. Charles Spurgeon put it this way. The other evening, this is him speaking, the other evening I was riding home after a heavy day's work. I felt very wearied and sore depressed when swiftly and suddenly, as a lightning flash, that text came to me, my grace is sufficient for you. I reached home and looked it up in the original, and at last it came to me in this way, my, and he's emphasizing my, grace is sufficient for you. And he said, and I said, I think it is, Lord, and burst out laughing. This is Charles Spurgeon. I never fully understood what the holy laughter of Abraham was until then. It seemed to make unbelief so absurd. Listen to this. He said it was as though a mouse feared it might die of famine. And Joseph might say, cheer up, little mouse, my granaries are sufficient for you. Again, I imagine a man way up yonder in a lofty mountain saying to himself, I breathe so many cubic feet of air every year, I fear I shall exhaust the oxygen in the atmosphere. But the earth might say, breathe away, old man, and fill your lungs ever. My atmosphere is sufficient for you. Be great believers, exclamation point. Little faith will bring your souls to heaven, but great faith will bring heaven to your soul. He's saying a human being, no matter what goes on in his life, when he starts thinking, hey, I can't make it, I don't have it, he said all of a sudden God says, my grace is sufficient for you. And he said that's just like a mouse that's in the granaries of Joseph saying, I'm afraid I'm going to eat it all up. Joseph said, eat till your heart's content because my grain is sufficient for you. You breathe so many cubic feet of air every year and you're afraid the oxygen's going to run out. And the earth says, breathe away and fill your lungs. My air is sufficient for you. Hear God. Hear the Lord. Some of you come in this morning, there's a thorn stuck in you. It's beating the daylights out of you. It hurts. It's painful. It's present, active voice. I mean, everywhere you turn, it's right there. Right there it is. Right there it is. Right there it is. I mean, it's constantly beating you down. It's hurting you. Maybe you've been on your face begging God. Maybe you've been on your face begging God for relief. Hear what Paul heard. God says, my grace. Glory, I'm feeling good right there. My grace is sufficient for you. Let me ask you a question. You think he's got enough grace, friends? You think he's sufficient? Absolutely he is. And he says, for my children, I don't care what the devil says. Hey, even Paul said, hey, it's a messenger of Satan. It was the devil beating the daylights out of him. God said, I will not take it out. I'm going to prove to you, son, just how big your God is. Glory. Man, I feel good right there. I'm telling you,
that no matter what you're going through, no matter what thorns in your flesh, no matter what you heard this week, glory, God is bigger than that. God can see you through it. And His grace is sufficient. Aren't you glad His grace is sufficient, friends? He said, I will seek the power of God in thorns. You're told of one who loves you, of a Savior crucified. You're told of nails that pinioned and a spear that pierced His side. You're told of cruel scourging, of a Savior bearing scorn. He died for your salvation with His brow against the thorn. You're not above the Master. Will you breathe a sweet refrain? Then His grace will be sufficient when your heart is pierced with pain. Fanny Crosby, she was blinded at age 5 simply by giving a wrong prescription. And in 90 years of darkness, she lived to be 95 years old, blinded at age 5. But at 90 years of darkness, she penned some 8,000 hymns. And among those is Near the Cross, My Savior First of All. Glory, feel good. Saved by grace, He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. All the way my Savior leads me. To God be the glory. Close to thee. Let me ask you a question. Is there a thorn sticking in you today? It hurts, doesn't it? You wish you'd take it out, can't you? I'm not preaching that if you pray hard enough, God will remove it. He can if He wants. But sometimes He chooses not to. Even when it's the devil that's stuck it in you. Even when it's the messenger of Satan that's buffeting you. But hear the voice of Almighty God. My grace is sufficient for you. He sought the power of God in thorns. Secondly, he sought the power of God in infirmities. This is all in this text here. All of it. You can read it. Verse number 10. In infirmities. You know what that word infirmities means? It means sickness, feebleness, weakness, disease. It means when I'm sick, when I am diseased, I will seek the power of God. Thirdly, he sought the power of God in reproaches. You know what that word, this is all verse 10, in reproaches. You know what that word reproach means? It means insults. It means hurt and harm. He's saying when somebody insults me, I will sacrifice my pride and I will seek the power of Christ. You get it? Hey, this hurts. They're insulting me. I will not glory in myself. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. He did number 4 in necessities. You know what that means? That means constraint. That means must needs. That means things that you have to do. In other words, I'm going to seek the power of God when I'm hurting. I'm going to seek the power of God when somebody's insulting me. I'm going to seek the power of God when I'm sick. I'm going to seek the power of God in my day-to-day routines that I have to get done. That's what he's saying. He doesn't stop there. He goes on to say, in persecutions. That means afflictions and distresses. He said, lastly, in distresses. You know what that means? That means calamity. That means anguish. That means when the room narrows in around you. That's what that word means. It means narrowness of the room. It means like you're in a big open room, but something's hit your life and it seems like the room's just squeezing in on you. That's what that word means. And he's saying, whenever the room is starting to squeeze in around me, whenever, listen, I used to have all this room, but all of this is just coming in. It's sucking the life out of me. It's getting closer and closer to me. It's trying to kill me at that moment. He said, I will seek the power of Christ. I want His power, and His power is in anything I go through. Once there was a little girl who found a cocoon hanging from a limb in the forest. And this little girl, you can imagine, that it just really amazed her. So she took this cocoon to her room, and she placed it in a jar, expecting one day to see a butterfly emerge from that cocoon. One day this little girl saw the butterfly within the cocoon trying to get out. And it was struggling and trying to push its way out of the tight opening. Well, the girl wasn't old enough to understand. So she thought that she would help the poor thing. So she carefully slit open the cocoon. After that, the butterfly was able to easily get out of the cocoon. But a strange thing happened. Instead of spreading two beautiful wings, the butterfly had two withered, shriveled, useless, ugly wings hanging by its side. Why, you may ask? Because God designed the butterfly and his cocoon so that the tight opening would straighten and strengthen his wings. Now get this. Without the pressure of the tight opening, the butterfly was robbed of the beauty of his wings. And more importantly, he was robbed of the ability to fly into the heavens, and he was condemned to a life of walking around on the ground. Now, if God sometimes allows butterflies to go through that, and yet through the pain and the struggle and the agony of it all, when all is said and done, they're flying in the heavens with beautiful, strong wings. What we want is somebody to come and slit the opening. So it seems a little bit easier, but you never make it to what you were prepared to be. God wants his children to fly, not be a creature that just walks around on the ground all the time. And he sometimes allows us to go through tight openings so that we can become the beautiful creature that he wants us to be. Number one, for Christ's sake, Paul said, I will sacrifice my pride. Number two, for Christ's sake, I will seek God's power. But number three, for Christ's sake, I will serve other people. I will serve other people. Verses 14 and 15, notice it. Keep in mind what's going on. These folks are criticizing him. These folks don't like him. These folks are bombarding him. They're attacking him unjustly. But notice what he said in verse number 14. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you. For I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Do you see this dear man of God's heart? It's interesting, and we need to keep in mind that at this moment when he's making these statements, he is being personally attacked. Yet he makes a statement that is convicting. In verse 15, he said, I will gladly spend and be spent for you. He's saying, I will gladly give what I have and give myself. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less you love me. Paul is saying, for Christ's sake, I will serve you regardless of your response. If you respond to me with love, I'm still going to serve you gladly. But if you respond to me with hate, I'm still going to serve you gladly. Let me tell you one of the greatest things that you can do when you're under attack, serve somebody else. Amen. You know what the devil tries to do when you're under attack and there's a thorn sticking to your side? He wants you to sit over in a corner and sulk about it and all these kind of things. And in your flesh, that's justifiable. It really, in your flesh, it is. It's justifiable. But one of the greatest things that you can do whenever you're in pain and you're struggling and you're in anguish and maybe you're being criticized, maybe you're being insulted like Paul, maybe you have a thorn in your flesh like whatever it is, one of the greatest things you can do is get your eyes on somebody else and serve somebody else. Verse number 14, he said, I seek not yours, but you. In other words, I don't want what you have, I want you. I'm not out to get your money. I'm not out to get your possessions. I seek not yours, I seek you, I want you. Verse 14, he said, oh, by the way, this is because you're my spiritual children. I'm your spiritual father. He led them to Christ, if you will. And he's saying the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. He's saying, I'm not asking you to lay up for me. I want to lay something up for you. You're my children.
verse 15, he says, I will spend, I will gladly, right here, he's saying verse number 15, I will very gladly spend. You know what that word spend means? It means to consume, expend, or use up. I will gladly consume what I have. I'll gladly expend what I have. I'll gladly use up what I have for you. He goes on to say, and I will gladly be spent. You know what that word spent means? It means to exhaust. It means to be used up. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, even though some of you all are treating me like garbage, I am gladly spending every dime I have on you. And I am gladly giving every ounce of my energy to you. Paul is saying, I'll spend everything I have until I have nothing left to give. Paul is under attack and still says, for Christ's sake, I'm just going to keep serving you. By the way, there's two things about his service here. He said, I'll do it gladly. That means with great pleasure. Secondly, he's going to do it graciously. Because he said, the more abundantly I love you, the less I'll be loved. He was not getting anything in return. But he graciously was doing this. Here's what I'm saying here. Many people only serve when it's convenient. However, we should serve other people regardless. For Christ's sake. See, the ultimate example of this is John chapter 13, verses 2 through 17, when Jesus was washing the disciples' feet. Let me ask you a question. Did he know that they would desert him? Yes? Yes, he did. Did he know that they would deny him, especially Peter? Sure. And yet he, the creator of them, arose from supper, girded himself with a towel, and lowered himself and washed their feet. In your Christian life, let me ask you a question. Are you in it for yourself, or are you in it for Christ? Paul said, in the midst of this attack he's under, in the midst of this thorn that's sticking in his side, in the midst of these infirmities and these necessities and these reproaches and these persecutions and these distresses, in the middle of it all, he's saying, for Christ's sake, I will sacrifice my pride. I will not think too highly of myself. I will seek the power of God, and I will keep serving other people. What a way to live our lives, friend. With the three-point outline, be done with pride. Get on your face and beg God for His power no matter what you're going through. And get your eyes off self and serve somebody along life's way. Why should we do this? For Christ's sake. For His sake. Amen? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love You and thank You for this day. Help us to see these things. Help us to be obedient to You and to love You and to trust You and to believe You. Help me to guide this invitation time in a way that is pleasing to You. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly as soon as they get prepared. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you 100% sure of heaven? I mean, are you 100% sure? I'm not asking, are you 99? I'm not asking, are you 90? I'm not asking, do you hope so? I'm asking, are you 100% sure of heaven? If you're here today and say, Jody, I am not 100%. Maybe you've made a profession of faith, you're doubting, whatever the case may be, but if you're there today and say, I am not 100% sure, I'm not going to come to your seat, I'm not going to embarrass you, I would never do that intentionally, I promise. But if you're sitting there today and you say, I'm not 100% sure, would you be honest, would you raise your hand in the air with mine, is there anybody like that? You say, I am not 100% sure. Anybody at all, upstairs and down. Let me ask you this question. I'm going to work right straight through this three-point outline. Number one, need to sacrifice your pride. Paul is saying, I'm under attack. It's not right. I've got a thorn beating the daylights out of me. But I will not glory in myself. I will not boast in myself. Maybe God's dealing with you about that. Maybe somebody walked in here and you're having marriage problems. Maybe somebody walked in here, maybe a child at odds with a parent, or maybe a parent at odds with a child. Maybe God is speaking to you about, you know, all you need to do is just sacrifice your pride. Don't be like those two ships where neither captain wanted to give way to the other one. And by the time you come to your senses, it's too late, and you're going to have a collision that could not only take you out, but it could take others with you. Sacrifice our pride. Or maybe today God's speaking to you because you have a thorn in your flesh. Or maybe you're going through a distress or a reproach or a necessity or a person. Hey, that hits everybody. Everybody has necessities. Everybody has things you have to do. You know what Paul's saying in this? He's saying in the good times and bad, in the necessary things and the unnecessary things, in the pain and pleasure, I'm going to seek the power of God. I'm going to seek the power of Christ. Maybe today say, Jody, I'm a Christian, but I'm going to be honest. There's a thorn sticking in my flesh. I'm going to be honest. There's a thorn in me. It's painful. It's hurting me. Hey, it doesn't mean it's physical pain. It could be emotional pain. But you say, there's a thorn in my flesh. And I can say that there's a messenger that's beating the daylights out of me. How many of y'all have something like that? Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Be honest about it. You say, there's a thorn in my flesh. Hey, it hurts. Hey, it hurts. Hey, it hurts. You say, Jody, what's the message? Here it is. You can put your hands down. You can pray for God to remove it. And he may do that. Give him the glory if he does. But even if he doesn't, you hear his sweet voice, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. And as a result, hear the Apostle Paul saying, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Hey, it's a messenger of Satan, but God can get the glory through it. His grace can see you through. Bring your need to him. Get on your knees if you can. If you can't, just have a seat on the front pew and beg God for his power. Beg God for his power. Maybe today God's speaking to you about serving other people. Hey, you say, what can I do to serve? There's a whole list of ministries out on that ministry wall, out in the lobby. All of those ministries have to do with serving people. Get involved in one of them. May the Lord help you. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, take these thoughts, use them in a mighty way, and help these precious people who have thorns in their sides to leave their seat to come, to beg the power of God. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Brother Gary's going to begin to sing. If God is speaking to you, if you have a thorn in your flesh, you want to just beg God's power, whatever it is, as he sings, would you come now? Come now. Would you do that?
Have thine own way.
Now's your time.
Lord,
so I've got a thorn in my flesh. I need the power of God. Yes, there's nothing wrong with asking him to remove it. There's nothing wrong with asking him to take it out. Not to do that.
After thy will,
he wants to give you his power.
I am waiting,
he wants to help you through. Let's keep on singing, Brother Gary. Folks are responding. May the Lord have his way.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power.
Precious husband. She found out this week that the cancer's back, the pelvic area. She's come. She wants God's power. I ask many of you ladies, some of you men too, because her husband's here. Why don't you come? Let's surround her. If God's prompting you to do this right now, let's get around her. Ladies around her, men around him. We're going to bow and have a word of prayer, especially for her. Asking God to help. Lord bless him this. I'm going to ask Brother Jack Mosier, sir, if you wouldn't mind. Brother Jack Mosier has been through cancer. And I'm going to ask him if he wouldn't mind to stand. Brother Mosier, if you wouldn't mind to stand, I want you to lead us in prayer. This will be our closing prayer. I want you to pray for Miss Pruitt right there. God bless you.